Well, just make sure that you keep Pastor Jamie and Carla in your prayers as they travel, and I'm sure they're excited that they have a new grandbaby. So I hope today you guys realize that you've been bought with a price. And I hope today you've accepted that gift. I hope today that you know the grace that God has given you through His Son, Jesus Christ. Today we're going to be in Acts chapter 3. We're going to be reading a lot of verses today. I don't think there's anything better than the Scripture speaking for themselves. God speaking through His Word to us today. Last time I was up here, I spoke about freedom. The freedom that Jesus Christ gives us. Today I want to talk about that freedom and what it should produce. It should produce boldness. We should be bold people because of Jesus Christ. We should be able to go out on the streets and proclaim His name freely. And in this country we get to, some other countries, they risk their lives doing it every day. And I hope you know that. Verse 1. One day Peter and John were going to the temple at the time of prayer. At 3 in the afternoon, now a man who was lame from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful. There he was put every day to beg. From those going into the temple courts, when he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, "Look at us." So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. And Peter said, "Silver or gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk, and he went around with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. When all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. I just kind of want to set the scene and what is happening here. Peter and John are walking to the temple at one of the times where they would go for prayer. They would go in the morning about 9, they would go into the afternoon about 3, and then they would go in the evening, or at sunset. So he's walking and they see this man who always would go at the same spot, sit on these steps, and beg for money. They walk up to him, and he asks for money. And Peter and John look at him and say, "We don't have any, but what we do have is so much more valuable." And he gives him the healing and makes him walk. This person, as we find out later, who is 40 years old and has not been able to walk his whole life, gets a new set of legs. There was no denying that this man was healed. Not only did he just get up and just walk away, he got up jumping, praising God. There was no denying that this man could walk now. He was jumping and moving around. He was throwing his hands up, praising God for what has He done. And all these people who saw it were filled with amazement at what happened. They saw this man who had been sitting there begging his whole life, and now he was able to walk. See, Peter and John, they knew where their power came from. They knew it came from nobody but Jesus Christ. And how we're going to see in these next couple of verses on what they tell these fellow Israelites of theirs. Verse 11. While the man held on to Peter and John, all the people were astonished. They came running to them in the place called Solomon's Colonnade. When Peter saw this, he said to them, "Fellow Israelites, why does this surprise you? Why do you stare at us as if by our own power or godliness we have made this man walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified His servant Jesus, who handed him over to be killed, and you disowned him before Pilate. Though he had decided to let him go, you disowned the holy and righteous one and asked for asked that a murderer be released to you. You killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead. We are witnesses of this. By faith in the name of Jesus, the man who you see and know was made strong. It is by Jesus' name and the faith that has come through him has completely healed him, as you all can see. Now, fellow Israelites, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did your leaders. But this is how God fulfilled what he foretold. Through all the prophets saying that his Messiah would suffer. Repent then and turn to God so that your sins will be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord. Peter told these men with extreme boldness where their power came from. They sat there and they were filled with amazement, like these two men were the greatest men on earth for what they have done. But they knew who the greatest man was. They knew that they could not do any of this without Jesus Christ. Just like we cannot do any of what we are doing today without Jesus Christ and the authority that he has given unto us. Amen. See, Peter shares the gospel right here with extreme boldness. And he could not do this without the Holy Spirit. We cannot do this today, church, without the Holy Spirit. Chapter 4, verses 1. The priests and the captains of the temple guard and the Sadducees came up to Peter and John while they were speaking to the people. They were greatly disturbed because the apostles were teaching the people, proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection of the dead. They seized Peter and John, and because it was evening, they put them in jail. Until the next day, but many who heard the message believed, so the number of men who believed grew to about 5,000. The next day, the rulers and elders and the teachers of the law met in Jerusalem. Ananias, the high priest, was there, and so was Caiaphas, John, Alexander, and others of the high priest family. They had Peter and John brought before them and began to question, "By what power and what name do you do this?" Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers and elders of the people, if we are being called to an account today for the act of kindness shown to a man who was lame, and are being asked how he was healed, then know this, you and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you've crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that is this man stands before you healed. Jesus is the stone you builders rejected, which has become the cornerstone. Salvation is found in no one else. There is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved." Jesus Christ is the only man who can save you. He is the only man that can set you back on solid ground. Right? He is the stone you builders rejected. He is the chief cornerstone. He should be the one that holds it all together for you. He should be the one you rely on in all aspects of your life. Here again, Peter preaches the gospel. It's one thing he preaches to the common folk, right? The fellow Israelites. Now he stands before the leaders, the chief priest, the elders, and he says the same thing to them. He preaches the truth with boldness. There should be no bounds to the gospel. We should be able to preach it at work. We should be able to preach it to our family. We should not be ashamed of the gospel. We should be able to preach it with boldness everywhere, not just here in church, but we should be able to preach it everywhere. Verse 13. When they saw the courage of Peter and John, they realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, and they were astonished, and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. But since they could see the man who had been healed standing there with them, there was nothing they could say. So they ordered them to withdraw from the Sanhedrin and then conferred together. "What are we going to do with these men?" they asked. "Everyone living in Jerusalem knows they have performed a notable sign, and we cannot deny it. But to stop this thing from spreading any further along, the people we must among the people we must warn them to speak no longer to anyone in this name." Then they called them in again and commanded them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John replied, "Which is right in God's eyes, to listen to you or to him? You be the judges. As for us, we cannot help speaking of what we have seen and heard." We cannot help but speaking what we have seen and what we have heard. Never think you are too ordinary to proclaim the gospel with boldness and with power. Never think you are too uneducated that you have to be schooled to proclaim the gospel. Because God can take the ordinary and make it extraordinary. He took this small group of men and he pushed to the outskirts of the world. Men that were unschooled and they were ordinary. They were fishers, right? Simple men, but with God, he can change the simple. And he can change the ordinary, and they can make him extraordinary. And he does. They healed a man that had been lame for 40 years, not by their own power, but by God's power. And they give God all the credit for what they have done. They never took any of the credit on themselves. They never said, "How great am I, Peter, right? How great am I, John?" No, they said, "How great is Jesus Christ of Nazareth?" That should be our same attitude. When we go out proclaiming the gospel, it should not be about what I have done. It's about what Jesus Christ has done.
That's right.
I hope we can say the same thing. I hope we can say, "I cannot help but speak his name." And when the world tries to shut you down, I hope that you can jump up with every ounce of energy you have and say, "I can't stop but speak Jesus' name." Verse 21. After further threats, they let him go. They could not decide how to punish them because all the people were praising God for what happened. For the man who was miraculously healed was over 40 years old. There was no denying this miracle. With everything they possibly could have thought of, there was no denying God's power in this miracle. They couldn't do it because all the people were praising God for it. Could you imagine being there, seeing a man who you knew could never walk, and you probably thought he would never walk, seeing him be able to run, jump, and praise God, come finally into the temple. No longer had to sit on the steps, but able to walk in the temple with his other Israelites. Jump to me to verse 29. Peter and John and the others, they prayed to God. They prayed for boldness. But here in verse 29 says, "Now the Lord consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand and heal and perform signs of wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus." After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God boldly. Now that is powerful prayer. They prayed to God for great boldness, and the place where they were meeting was shaken. The people there were shaken. Did you know today you can pray the same prayer? I know a lot of us here today are afraid to proclaim the gospel. For whatever might in your heads be the reason why you might not want to proclaim, whether you're afraid that someone's going to mock you or whatever it might be. Today you can pray for great boldness. You can pray that you can speak God's word boldly. Even though you are ordinary people, You can pray to God for great boldness, and God can shake the earth around you. He can shake the people around you. He can turn the hearts of people around you. They spoke God's word boldly, with great boldness. I wonder today how bold we actually are. When we leave after Sunday, how many times do we mention Jesus in passing? How many times last week did you mention Jesus at work? Or school, or wherever it might be? Chapter 5, verse 12. Remember what they just prayed. The apostles performed many signs and wonders among the people, and all the believers used to meet together in Solomon's Colonnade. No one else dared to join them, even though they were highly regarded by the people. Nevertheless, more and more men and women believed in the Lord and were added to their number. As a result, people brought the sick into the streets and laid them on the beds and mats so that at least Peter's shadow might fall on some of them as he passed by. Crowds gathered also from the towns around Jerusalem, bringing their sick and those tortured by impure spirits, and all of them were healed. God was moving through these apostles. He was moving through His people. The people that humbly prayed to Him. I just love seeing throughout Acts, more and more men were added to their numbers. 5,000 people believed. I can only imagine that happening today. But it can only happen if we preach the gospel with great boldness. If we're not ashamed of Jesus. If we don't mash up the gospel. We don't make it what the world wants to hear. But we preach it like Peter preaches it to the people. That He is the only one by which you can be saved. There is no one else under heaven by which you can be saved. It is only by Jesus Christ. I hope today you know the price that has been paid for your salvation. That you never take that for granted. And by that, you're able to go out and preach with great boldness. See, God was moving through His apostles, showing His power. Not showing the apostles' power, but showing God's power. Now, the leaders are going to react to this. All these great, awesome things that are happening, you wouldn't think people would be upset. You would think this would be amazing, right? Amazing thing to see. Verse 17. When the high priest and all his associates who were members of the party of the Sadducees were filled with jealousy. They were jealous because of what had been happening. They were jealous that people were believing in the one and true Jesus Christ as Messiah. They were jealous because some of their followers had left. They arrested the apostles and they put them in public jail. But during the night, an angel of the Lord opened the doors of the jail and they brought them out. And the angel says, go and stand in the temple courts, he said, and tell the people all about this new life. As I spoke last time I was up here, you have a freedom. Jesus has given you freedom. And as we read the verses with Paul and Silas, here God breaks these men out of jail again. He tells them something. He gives them a command. He doesn't say just leave. He says, go and stand in the temple courts, he said, and tell the people all about this new life. When is the last time you told somebody about your new life? When is the last time you told somebody that you are a new creation? Or are you scared that that's so far-fetched that you'll be made fun of? You've been born again. You have been born again. There's so much jealousy that fills when things are happening, even good things. So many times, even us Christians will fall in this jealous aspect of life. That even when our fellow brothers and sisters receive something, we're like, how can they get this? Why do they deserve that? Instead of rejoicing with those who rejoice, or mourning with those who mourn, we're filled with jealousy. When the high priest and his associates arrived, they called together the Sanhedrin and the full assembly of elders of Israel, and they sent to the jail for the apostles. But on arriving at the jail, the officers did not find them there, so they went back and reported, "We have found the jail securely locked with no one inside." On hearing this report, the captain of the temple guard and the chief priests were at a loss, wondering what this might lead to. Could you imagine the thoughts of the elders and the chief priests? That the door was still locked and the guards were still standing outside the doors. However this might have happened, it's amazing. God is amazing in all aspects as He works through His people. See, this would have meant nothing if they didn't do the command that God tells them to do. Because on hearing, then someone came and said, "Look, the men you put in jail are standing in the temple courts teaching the people." At that, the captain went to his officers and brought the apostles. They did not use force because they feared that the people would stone them. The apostles were brought in and made to appear before the Sanhedrin to be questioned by the high priest. "We gave you strict orders not to teach in this name," he said. "Yet you are filled Jerusalem with your teachings and are determined to make us guilty of this man's blood." Peter and the other apostles replied, "We must obey God rather than human beings." I hope you can say the same thing. I hope you can say, "I must obey God rather than man." The God of our ancestors raised Jesus from the dead, whom you killed by hanging him on the cross. God exalted him at his own right hand as Prince and Savior, that he might bring Israel to repentance and forgive their sins. We are witnesses to these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey them. God exalted Jesus Christ at His own right hand. He sits at the right hand of God, interceding for you and I. He has given us this precious gift, this gift of the Holy Spirit, so that we can be bold, so that many and many numbers can be added to the church. When is the last time you've been bold? When is the last time you proclaimed the gospel truthfully to somebody? When they heard this, they were furious and they wanted to put them to death. They were furious at what they said. See, these were the Sadducees. They didn't even believe in the resurrection. But Peter stands, knowing what they believe, and said, "God raised him from the dead. God raised Jesus Christ from the dead." See, even in the face of opposition, Peter proclaims the gospel, knowing that he could be put to death for what he has said. He still proclaims the gospel truthfully and with boldness. How far are you willing to proclaim the gospel? How far are you willing to proclaim the gospel of truth? Are you willing to preach it unto death? Or are we scared of opposition? Are we scared of persecution today? Verse 40. See, God moves in mysterious ways. See, a man gives a speech to these. And he says here, right before verse 40, he says, "Therefore, in the present case, I advise you, leave these men alone. Let them go. For if their purpose or activity is of human origin, it will fail. But if it is from God, you will not be able to stop these men. You will only be fighting yourselves, find yourselves fighting against God." His speech persuaded them. They called the apostles in and had them flogged, and they ordered them not to speak in the name of Jesus, and they let them go. They were beaten. Like we saw last time, Peter and Silas, they were beaten. But even though they were beaten, they were still able to proclaim the gospel. Nothing stopped these men from proclaiming the gospel. And I hope today nothing stops you from proclaiming the gospel. They ordered them not to speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. Verse 41. The apostles left the Sanhedrin rejoicing because they had been counted worthy of suffering disgrace for the name. Day after day in the temple courts, from house to house, they never stopped teaching and proclaiming the good news that Jesus is the Messiah. Day after day, house to house, they never stopped teaching. Even though everyone said to stop speaking in that name, stop performing miracles in that name, they never stopped, and I'm so thankful that they never stopped teaching and proclaiming the good news that Jesus is the Messiah, because if they stopped, I wouldn't be standing here today telling you that Jesus is the Messiah. There is so much power in the Holy Spirit that we can't quite understand. We can't quite understand the power that is living inside us. We can't understand that there's power in prayer. That when we actually pray, God will hear us. That He will answer us. And because sometimes it's not our own time, we quit praying at all. God is a God of patience. So many of us have been like the lame man. We've sat on the steps, but somebody has come by and told us that we do not have silver or gold, but we have something much better. And they proclaim the gospel to you. And you were able to get up off those steps, hopefully jumping and rejoicing for what God has done in your life. But some of us today stay sitting on those steps. Even though we are healed and we have our legs, we never get up. We never move. We come to church on Sunday and we go to work on Monday. We come back to church on Sunday and we go to work on Monday. Day after day, we sit on those steps. Even though we have the miracle of healing, that we have our legs, we never move from those steps. Maybe today you are still on those steps. Maybe today you've never been healed. I tell you today that there is no other name but Jesus Christ that saves you. See, Peter and John and the other apostles, they had this sense of urgency. They went. right? When God told them to go, they went. He told them to go stand in the temple courts. They didn't hesitate. Where'd they go? They went to the temple courts. Where is God telling you to go today? See, you are more than just an ordinary person. You have Jesus Christ living inside of you. Don't reject the cornerstone. Don't reject your chief cornerstone in your life. I hope today you rely on Him for every aspect of it. See, we can ask for boldness. Boldness that we've never experienced before. Boldness like we see right here. See, we can go day after day, house to house, proclaiming the good news. But some of us will just sit on the steps, saying, "Woe is me. I'm just an ordinary man. I'm just an uneducated man." You want people to see God's power in you? Go day after day, house to house, never stopping proclaiming the good news. Even when mom, even when dad tells you you're crazy. I hope you have the same attitude. I hope at work, you can go day after day proclaiming that Jesus is the Messiah. That you can take up your cross even on Monday. That you can deny yourself even on Tuesday. I hope today you know that there is power in your prayers. That God can shake the people around you. That He can move in amazing ways. Ways that can't be denied by the world. I pray today that the community around us sees God in every single one of you. That there is no denying because we are a bold people for Christ. That we're able to stand on that cornerstone. Even when the people reject it. That we can say He is my chief cornerstone. As we stand today, I want you guys to ask yourself this question. And I want you guys to be serious with this question. Maybe today you are still on the steps. Maybe today God is calling you to some great and mighty things, and you might think you're just too ordinary or too uneducated to do those things. You can come down here and you can pray to God for boldness.